Welcome to Golden Point Sports, your number one sports car podcast. Now for your host, two guys who are killing the dad bod book, living out their faith, and talking sports, Robert Foster and Brad Winter.
On today's episode, Brad and I are going to give you our top five rookie quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends going into the 2021 NFL season. The 2021 NFL draft was, about a week and a half ago, according to this recording time. And look, this was an episode that Brad and I really wanted to get out there because as quickly as possible, because, you know, a lot of people, especially if you're in dynasty leagues, you've already drafted or you're going to get ready to draft, and you're probably going to draft before maybe even preseason gets here. So we want to go ahead and give you these rankings. They could change a little, who knows, by the time the season starts, but if they change a whole lot, we will of course let you know that. But either way, and also Brad and I are going to give you our top five sleeper candidates. Some of these guys could be taxi squad stashes. So anyways, this episode is all about fantasy football, and it's something Brad and I both love. We play in multiple leagues together, and one league we play with completely random people. So just to test our knowledge and our skills, I guess. But either way, well, completely random to Brad. I know a couple of them there, but either way. All right, Brad, before we get started, first and foremost, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. We started off by going to the school and appreciating some teachers by getting them some Starbucks frappes. They appreciated it, so it was a lot of fun seeing smiles on their face. So it started off on a good note. So hopefully the rest of the table will go well as well.
Very cool, very cool. Well, on our podcast, we appreciate the teachers as well. They definitely educated Brad and I. And I know sometimes we don't have educated points or as educated points as far as sports goes. But, hey, I mean, you know what? When it comes to regular education, we're okay at it, I think.
I mean, Gleason tried, so.
Hey, it is what it is. I can't say anything about where you went because, I have ties there now. Anyways, all right. So let's start off with this, Brad. We have some very important news for you all. This will actually be the last episode under the Golden Point Sports Podcast name. I know. It's a sad time, but that's because starting on the very next episode, we will be under the new name, Football with the Golden Guys. We will strictly be talking college football, NFL, and fantasy football like we are today. We are making the change so we can focus more on these subjects, and because these are what we love to talk about the most. We love all sports, but look, when it comes to football, this is just our domain, you know, and that's what we want to focus on. We are making the change. Oh, I'm sorry. We thank you for all the support the last 2 years, and we hope that you continue to ride with us through this journey. You will still be able to find us through the same podcast streaming services and find our old episodes under the name Golden Point Sports Podcast. You can find the new podcast and go ahead and subscribe to it under the name Football with the Golden Guys. Social media will be under that same name, Football with the Golden Guys, but we will just be changing the name of our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to accommodate that change. So same pages, just different change. We've built the pages up a lot, and we just don't know if there's any point in us straying away from that. And so we hope you understand, but either way, if you're already on the page, which most of you are, then you're good to go. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go search or anything, but hey, just go subscribe and give us a rating for Football with the Golden Guys on Apple Podcast, on Spotify, I don't know. We're not on Spotify yet. It takes a minute to get on Spotify, but anyways, on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, let me see here. There's a lot of them. Breaker, Stitcher, Radio Public, CastBox, Overcast, even Pandora, Podbean, Pocket Cast, TuneIn Radio, Bullhorn, and the podcast app. And I'm sure that there's probably a lot more out there. Who knows? But anyways, that's just to name a few. And yeah, so just go and give us a subscription, give us a follow on each of those, rate us, review. We just love that. And listen, again, you can always still find our old episodes, our interviews and all that good stuff through the Golden Point Sports Podcast. And yeah, so it's still going to be a lot of fun. Either way, Brad, what else do you have to add to that?
Yeah, man, I'm excited. You know, me and you had a meeting after our last episode of just where the direction of the podcast and where we want to go and life in general. I mean, since this podcast has started, we both have had a child. And so, you know, it's been a work in progress. We're up to two kids apiece. And so we want to just make it to where we're giving you the best that we can give you personally and maybe football knowledge wise. And at the same time, be able to still give you good quality podcasts, radio, whatever you want to call it, listening when you're out there driving your truck or you're mowing your grass, whatever. Whenever you listen to us, we want to be able to give you the best quality possible. So we're going this direction. We're going to try to shorten it up just a little bit and give you the best that we can possibly give you regarding college football, NFL, and fantasy, just like Robert said. So excited about this journey, and hope you join us along and continue to just explore the football world with me and Robert.
Very nice. Yeah, and look, we're excited for the change. I mean, I think that it's going to give us the ability to, you know, we talk about other sports on here, but, you know, and I'm not saying that we don't like doing that, but I sometimes feel like we're obligated to under the name that we're under. But now we're going to be a different name. It's still going to be Brad and I. There's not a whole lot that's going to change except for, I mean, it's just going to be – it's strictly going to be about football. And so if you're coming for us about baseball, about basketball, I mean, unless something absolutely huge happens, you know, you might hear us to say congratulations to the, I don't know, whoever wins the NBA finals or something like that, but we're not going to make it a subject to talk about. So either way, yeah, Brad, let's jump into this episode here, shall we? First and foremost is the quarterback. Brad, 1 through 5 here. Number one, all these are consensus ranked, by the way, folks. So we just like our mock draft, just like anything, it's always consensus ranked. Number one for the quarterbacks is Trevor Lawrence of the Jacksonville Jaguars. For me, Brad, I mean, I think Trevor Lawrence is the for sure day one starter in Jacksonville. I mean, Urban Meyer, he's building that offense around him. I mean, he already went out and got Travis Etienne, his college running back. I mean, look, Trevor Lawrence, he's supposed to be a generational talent. So especially if you're in a one QB league and need a quarterback, you're going to grab Trevor Lawrence. If you're in a super flex league and need a second quarterback or sometimes in a super flex, you need a third quarterback. You never know. Or if you're in a two QB league, whatever it is, Trevor Lawrence, maybe your first pick in the first round of your rookie draft. But Brad, what's your thoughts on Trevor Lawrence at number one?
Yeah, I mean, I just think and at the end of the day, he's surrounded by a lot of good talent. So not only did he get Travis Etienne, his you know, college teammate and winner of a national championship with him, he also gets James Robinson, who a lot of people, let's not forget about him. He had a breakout season last year, did really well, got 1,100 yards. He picked me up. Or I picked him up. He didn't pick me up. He picked me up during the year, led me to the playoffs. But I picked him up early on in the season. So don't forget about him. They still have Armstead back there. That's a running back number three. And then you got to think, who's Trevor Lawrence going to throw to? Well, DJ Chark, Laviska Shenault, which is, you know, looking like he might be a sleeper this year. And then you throw in anybody else. So they picked up Philip Dorsett in the free agency, Marvin Jones Jr., another veteran coming in. And so I think, honestly, at the end of the day, I think Trevor Lawrence is set up for the best all-around team around him. Now, let's just remember, we're not talking about how the defense manipulates Trevor Lawrence's stats and fantasy points, but I think at the same time, he has a lot of surrounding pieces that are going to make him a good quarterback. Number two is that we have Trey Lance, quarterback for San Francisco 49ers. Look, there's a lot of, you know, we're not really sure back and forth on is he going to start the day? Is he going to be a day one starter? Is he going to come in halfway through the season? You know, he runs a similar – Kyle Shanahan runs a similar offense that Trey Lance did at North Dakota State. Is he already ready to go in that system? You know, he gets surrounded again. Another rookie quarterback gets thrown in with a really good offensive team. And so he has George Kittle. Why not? I mean, who would not want to throw George Kittle? And then you have to turn around. You have Brandon Ayuk, who had a really good year last year, you know, expected to be a sleeper this year as far as veteran players go. And then they, you know, they have Debo Samuel. They have, they picked up, you know, they have Armstead as their running back. They pick up several running backs, Trey Sermon, that we might talk about later. And so I think looking at offensive weapons around the quarterback, which helps lead to better stats for the quarterback, I mean, you can't go wrong with Trevor Lawrence and Trey Lance up there at the top two.
Yeah, I think with Trey Lance, a lot of people are going to say, you know, he went to North Dakota State. Or, well, you know, look, we're going to throw that out because we're going to look at the fact that he rushed for, what, over 1,000 yards in the 2021 or 2020 season. I mean, look, and he's coming in very fresh too, Brad. I mean, he played, what, one game in 2021, I think? So, I mean, look, he's coming in very fresh. And he's gonna add something to the Kyle Shanahan offense that I think Kyle Shanahan's always wanted, but he's never really had. I mean, he's had Matt Ryan and Jimmy G. What, that was his last two quarterbacks, right? So you're not going to see those two guys scramble and get out of the pocket and be a mobile quarterback who's going to get you those, who's going to get you. Trey Lance is going to get you more points. And I think Trevor Lawrence can do a little bit of the same thing. But Trey Lance is going to get you points from running the ball. You're going to have rushing touchdowns by Trey Lance. And so I think, to me, in fantasy football, I mean, Trey Lance, you could make a very valid argument that he could be number one here. The problem is if you're looking long-term-wise, not redraft, but long-term-wise, I mean, you want Trevor Lawrence because you feel like Trevor Lawrence is going to make it is going to be a guy for a long, long time, like a Patrick Mahomes or a Russell Wilson or a Tom Brady or Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. Now, Trey Lance, though, you know, look, you know, he might be a guy for you for, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, but you might be looking to replace him. You're probably going to look to replace Trey Lance before you do Trevor Lawrence. And that's why Trey Lance is number two and not number one here. But number three, besides the fact that Trevor Lawrence is most likely going to start day one and Trey Lance, we're not sure about, but number three is Justin Fields of the Chicago Bears. You know, here, Justin Fields holds kind of the same thing as Trey Lance. He's able to get out of the pocket. He's able to give you those rushing yards, those rushing touchdowns, and that gives you more. That gives you a whole lot more points to be scored. But yeah, Justin Fields. Look, I got him at number three here, and one of the reasons why I don't have him ahead of Trey Lance or Trevor Lawrence is because Justin Fields, he's playing for a team like the Bears who, you know, after this year, they could be losing their GM and their head coach. I mean, they could be in turmoil. We just don't know where they're at. And look, honestly, I mean, Justin Fields, he's coming into a place that has never really had that great a quarterback play. I mean, the last time they went to the Super Bowl, a guy named Rex Grossman led them there. And, I, you know, most of you forgot who Rex Grossman was. But I just, yeah, I think it's about more for me. I don't know if I trust the Bears and the Bears organization. Not really that I don't trust Justin Fields. Plus, he's out of the Ohio State. We've seen the Ohio State quarterbacks come out. You have to be cautious with that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, first concern, Ohio State. Second concern, yeah, we don't know. I mean, he's right now behind Andy Dalton and maybe Nick Foles. So does he start right away? We're not sure yet. But, I mean, again, if you look at just the Bears and what Justin Fields can do, I mean, they upgraded their line with getting Tevin Jenkins. That was a really smart pickup on them in the second round. But then you look at who he has to throw to. Well, he has Tariq Cohen, which was second in the league in targets last year for running backs. And then they have David Montgomery, who had a resurgence last year in his career and looked good if you were a fantasy owner of him. And so, you know, they're set with the running backs. And you have Cole Kmet, who's a – supposed to be a sleeper this year in fantasy. Like, so he goes to a tight end, you know, someone has a tight end. Then he has Dez Mims, Daz Newsome. Dez Mims is with the Jets. But Daz Newsome is a rookie coming in who has a lot of potential upside. And then he has Cole Kmet. He also has, you know, he has Anthony Miller, who, yeah, we could probably do without Anthony Miller. He's struggling as of late. But, and then you have Allen Robinson, one of the best receivers in the league. And so I think – all around again, when I look at quarterbacks and see who's going to do well, I really look at who's around the quarterback. Who's going to be – who's he throwing to? What's his running game looks like? What does his offensive line look like? And I think the Bears have a lot of upside here with Justin Fields. So if you're in a dynasty, maybe not a day one starter, but definitely a good pickup because, you know, if Andy Dalton or Nick Foles go back, revert to their old selves, Justin Fields could be thrown in there pretty quickly. And then our fourth quarterback is actually Zach Wilson. Again, you could argue, based off of my arguments, that he could probably be ahead of Justin Fields. Again, if you're not offensive weapons. So last year, New York Jets were terrible. Was it Sam Darnold's fault? Was it was it an Adam Gase issue? I mean, probably more likely an Adam Gase issue. But at the same time, Zach Wilson gets to come in, as a rookie, probably day one starter. And then you got to look at, well, who's his weapons? Well, I'm glad you asked, right? So, I mean, he's going to have Corey Davis, free agent signing. He's going to have Jamison Crowder, free agent signing. And, he's going to have Keelan Cole, a free agent signing. And then you have – so that's your wide receivers. And then you got, you have Tevin Coleman. You have I don't even know who that is. Sorry, I'm looking at their depth chart while I'm talking. But Ty Johnson is their running back. I mean, Tyler Croft, who, yes, has been injured. You know, last time we've seen him do anything was with the Bengals early on in his career. But he could have a resurgence here. But then you're looking again, well, Denzel Mims. Well, he's a good, fast receiver. And so, Zach Wilson loves those fast receivers because he likes to play playground ball. He's very similar to Baker Mayfield. So he needs someone who can get deep, fast for him. That's Denzel Mims. And then you get to Elijah Moore, who really could be a good slot receiver for them. They have LaMichael Perine. You know, if their running backs don't work out, they got Michael Carter, who you might hear from me a little bit later on him. I think he's going to be somewhat of a stud for them. And then they pick up Elijah Vera Tucker to solidify the offensive line. I think, honestly, when I'm looking at winners of the drafts, Jets are right up there as number one or two for me. I think they picked up really well. They remind me of the Browns a couple of years ago. And if I were you, I'd probably pick up Zach Wilson. Maybe not early on, but I'd be pretty quick to make sure he's on my team by the fourth round.
You know, Brad and I, we are very like uniform and on quarterback, at least we were like the same. I think we're actually the exact same on our rankings for quarterback. So, but Zach Wilson to me, Brad, is he a quarterback you should pick up? I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I'm not a fan. I'm just not a fan. I have a feeling Zach Wilson has bust written all over him. And look, bust in the NFL may not really mean bust in fantasy football. You know, in fantasy football, if you get a guy who isn't going to do you any good for the couple of years that you might have him, you can go out and replace him. You can trade for another quarterback. You can draft another quarterback. You might even be able to find a gem like a Taylor Heineke, for instance, who might have a shot in Washington to play some in free agency. Who knows? But what I'm saying is I don't know. Zach Wilson, I'm not going to – if I'm in a position to draft Zach Wilson, it needs to be when there's no one else better to pick because I just don't know. I don't know if I can go for Zach Wilson, but he is in an offense that is growing. I mean, he's in an offense that should be that's a lot better than what Sam Darnold had there. I'm not saying that he won't be a better quarterback than Sam Darnold, because he might be, but we'll just have to see. And it's really not really Zach Wilson who I don't trust. But it's not really Zach Wilson who I don't trust. It's the Jets, I think. So either way, but yeah, Zach Wilson, he's not a bad pick for you if you pick him, but I'm just saying. He's, yeah. All right. Number five, Mac Jones of the Patriots. Look, this was pretty easy. I mean, Mac Jones, the Patriots feel like he's the future. You're going to find him late in probably third rounds or in probably like the third round, late third round of your rookie drafts. He's probably not going to start the season. Cam is, but I think Mac Jones will get some play this year. I don't know how I feel about Mac Jones either, but the Patriots are high on him. So I don't know. I wouldn't listen to anybody I wouldn't listen to all those people who say, well, Mac Jones and Tom Brady, they're kind of, well, they kind of got some similarities. Come on, man. I don't know. I don't know. They look like not your typical very athletic quarterback, but either way. But, yeah, Mac Jones to the Patriots. I like he's number five on this list for a reason. So yeah, Brad, what's your thoughts on Mac Jones? And we'll go into running backs.
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, realistically, he's a pick for the future. I mean, he's not going to start, like you said, he's not going to start. Look, I think Cam Newton's a huge sleeper this year in fantasy. He loves his tight ends. He did really well with Greg Olsen, and now he comes in with Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. So I think Cam's going to be a sleeper, and because of that, I think Mac Jones might be waiting another year or two before he even sees the field. Now, I could be totally wrong. We see him middle of the season, but yeah, Mac Jones, there's potential there. But again, I would hold off. If you're looking at rookie quarterbacks, we have him at five for a reason. Out of the big names, he's probably going to be one that waits the longest to get on the field, and we're not really sure. I mean, at the same time, he's a wild card. So, but that's our quarterbacks. Let's go into our rookie running backs for this year for fantasy. Look, we were kind of we were different on this. If you saw our original things, we were different. But the one who got the most points out of the consensus ranking was Najee Harris, a running back out of Pittsburgh. And so you're like, oh, Brad gets the Steelers first. Yes, I do. Najee Harris, very much like a prototype of Le'Veon Bell. I think he's sturdier. I think he's one that's going to, you know, can take the hits a little bit better than Le'Veon Bell could. And I'm excited. You know, James Conner going to Arizona and not really having a true running back there. I mean, Trey Edmonds isn't going to be your day one starter. Najee Harris has an opportunity to step up and do well. Is he a three down back? I mean, we're not sure about that yet. We don't know. He's a rookie, and there's questions about that coming out of Alabama. But I think he's going to do well. And, you know, Roethlisberger, especially with his age, loves running backs. I mean, if you watched him last year with his mechanics, I mean, he's not going to throw the ball down the field as much as he used to. And so getting a running back in there who can come off of screens and slant passes, I think you're going to see Najee Harris use. And so if you're in a PPR league and you need a running back, he's probably going to be a good pick for you early on. But I think if you're looking for a running back, especially in the future, I would take a chance on him early on.
Oh, I personally took I took over a team that literally Melvin Gordon was my only running back. I mean, I just took it over this offseason. I went out and I actually drafted – I drafted Najee Harris at the 101. I also was able to grab Trey Sermon and our number five guy here. We'll get to him in a little bit. I was able to grab all three of them in the first round. I was very happy about that. So my running back room looks a whole lot better now, which is great. Either way, number one, Najee Harris, he's kind of like a – he's like a he's a smaller version, I think, of Derrick Henry, but he can catch, you know. He can catch in open space, and he can run, you know, he can run after the catch. And I think that if you got a guy who is like a Derrick Henry who can actually catch the ball well and be a really good member of the passing game, yeah, you're in pretty good shape there, I think, Brad, if I do say so myself. But either way, yeah, Najee Harris, number one here. Number two, Javonte Williams. I'm higher on Williams than Brad is, but I'm high on Williams because Melvin Gordon's in his last year of his contract. Javonte Williams, he's got a lot of talent. Some people are the best running back in this class. I don't know if I agree with that. I think Najee's still better, but still, Javonte Williams, he's going to the Broncos here, and he's going to have opportunity. He could have opportunity as soon as he – he could have opportunity as soon as the season starts. Who knows? I mean, if this is Melvin Gordon's last year, Javonte Williams should be the future. I mean, I think that Javonte Williams of the Denver Broncos, I think that he'll be a really good pick for you. In any draft, I think even in redraft leagues, I think you can grab Javonte Williams. Right, what's your thoughts on Williams, and then number three?
Yeah, so Javonte Williams, you know, I'm a little less higher, but at the same time, I'm thinking – I think I saw it more as in the immediate production of Javonte Williams more than it was in the long run. Like, yes, I'm a little – if dynasty-wise, let's draft him. I mean, he has less wear and tear on him than Travis Etienne and Najee Harris. And he made a bunch of people miss last year. If you watch his film, a lot of missed tackles, broke off for long runs in that great UNC offense. And that was also with sharing the backfield with Michael Carter. So I think in the long run, Javonte Williams definitely could be tabbed as one of the best running backs coming out of this draft, if not the best. But again, I would see him as a future draft pick instead of an immediate coming off the bench and getting you production. The number three for us is Travis Etienne, running back for Jacksonville Jaguars. Look, Travis Etienne did pretty well. He worked on his catching game his last year of college. You know, he goes into a system that, one, is going to favor him with Urban Meyer running the offensive system, and two, he's back with his old quarterback. So I think with that chemistry already there with him and Trevor Lawrence, you know, there's a lot of upside there. But at the same time, I think what you have to worry about is James Robinson did well last year. So if I'm the Jaguars, I'm not just cutting James Robinson's production back after what he did for us last year. So, again, I think you're going to see Travis Etienne as running back number two and not get as much production. So, yeah, I would get him at three because I'm thinking in the long run he's a good running back to get. I think his body could use the rest after being used so much at Clemson. But he's definitely going to be a running back two going into the season behind James Robinson. And then let's go into pick number four. We'll reflect here in a second on Travis Etienne with Rob. But Trey Sermon is our number four guy, San Francisco 49ers. Broke out late last year in the college football playoff, right around the end of the day, the Big Ten championship, did well. Goes to San Francisco, which has several running backs already there. So he's in a deep running back room. That's why we have him as low as we do. But I think personally, Ohio State running backs usually do well in the pros. I mean, Eddie George, Ezekiel Elliott, there's several running backs that have come out from Ohio State and done well at the pro level. So Trey Sermon, number four, San Francisco 49ers, and he did well. Again, I think he's a good pick, but pick him late because I don't think he's going to be used in the 49ers system probably for another year or two, maybe even 3 years. So just be careful with Trey Sermon because, again, he's a good running back, but he got drafted to a team with a lot of running backs already in the room. And if we look at number five, we have Kenneth Gainwell, running back. And again, we'll hit up Robert's opinion of the top or number three, four, and five here in just a second. But Kenneth Gainwell getting drafted to the Philadelphia Eagles. A lot of people say that he came in and he has stolen Boston Scott's role. I don't know if he has stolen Boston Scott's role, but a lot of people see him as another Nahe Hines kind of in the Philadelphia Eagles system. Again, they pick up Nick Sirianni from the Colts. So you could see a very much similar system, which could help Jalen Hurts out, especially in that first year as a full starter. And so I think you're going to see the Eagles running back, Kenneth Gainwell, do a lot of good work behind that line. He comes in pretty well, and he's a fifth-round pick. So, you know, when people come in a little late, they have a chip on their shoulder, and they want to be able to show something, and he's from Memphis. So, you know, Memphis has some decent running backs, Tony Pollard, for example. And so Kenneth Gainwell could be a good steal late in the draft. But, Robert, what do you have on Travis Etienne, Trey Sermon, and Kenneth Gainwell?
Yeah, so, you know, look, Travis Etienne going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Look, honestly, I think it's a great fit for Travis Etienne. It's just horrible for, you know, like a guy like James Robinson. I mean, that's where I come in, and I just feel worse for James Robinson than I do about Travis Etienne, really. So, Travis Etienne, I think it's a good fit for him, and he's going to play with his college quarterback as well. So, I mean, you know, you don't see that happen very often. And so, I think it'll be an interesting pairing, and I think Travis Etienne will have some value. How quickly does he have value, though, is going to be the question, because how much does he actually play above what they got Carlos Hyde too, right? So how much does he play above Carlos Hyde or James Robinson, especially at first? But I think by year two of Travis Etienne's career, he'll probably be the man at backfield, if not halfway through the year one. Anyways, number four was Trey Sermon of the 49ers. Look, he's going into I think here's the reason why I personally have him as low or lower than like Travis Etienne is because there's a lot of guys in that backfield right now, in that backfield room, in that running back room of the 49ers. I mean, you have Wayne Gallman. You have, oh my goodness, you have Raheem Mostert. I mean, you have Elijah Mitchell, I think his name is, was also drafted. You got a couple of more in there that was escaping me right now. But Trey Sermon doesn't have the ability to he's not going to have the ability, I think, to be the day one guy. But down the road, I think he could. Now, granted, the other bad thing is Kyle Shanahan likes to use multiple running backs. He doesn't really care to use only one running back. And so I think that's going to take away from Trey Sermon's ability as well. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. And then number five, Kenneth Gainwell of the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm higher on him because I'm not a big fan of – Oh, goodness, Brad, it is beside me here. Who am I thinking about? I'm thinking about
– Miles Sanders or Boston Scott?
Miles Sanders, there we go. We have Boston Scott and to a degree. But, yes, Miles Sanders, I don't know why that's – you know his name. I always forget his name. Anyways, yes, Miles Sanders, that's it. Miles Sanders, he's not that great at catching the ball. Kenneth Gainwell can be. And also Miles Sanders, he misses at least, a couple of games a year. Kenneth Gainwell, look, he's a long-term play to possibly be the guy in this backfield. And I like Kenneth Gainwell a lot. I actually reached for him. I was at 111 of this same rookie draft that I've talked about. And he was probably not going to go until, the middle of the second, but I had to reach for him because I didn't have a pick until the third round, actually. So, Kenneth Gainwell, I like him a lot, and I think he's going to be a stud in the next couple of years. And it's not just because he went to Memphis, but still, I do like that about him as well. All right, Brad, wide receivers. Number one, Ja'Marr Chase of the Cincinnati Bengals. Look, Ja'Marr Chase is joining Joe Burrow. You know, it's going to be a tandem just like they had at LSU. I will tell you this. I mean, I think that, and this might be a discussion for another day, but if the Bengals don't do well this year, I think that Joe Brady, who's currently with the Panthers, he could be taking over for Zach Taylor. I mean, you know, the Bengals are just going to become the LSU of the North because it makes sense, right? It just makes sense. So, but either way, yeah, Ja'Marr Chase along with Joe Burrow should be a good pairing. And I know he's got a couple of guys who he's going to have to worry about, like a Tyler Boyd or the guy that they just drafted last year. Again, the names are beside me here. T. Higgins. There we go. T. Higgins, we thought he was going to have a big year now that Green is gone. But no, you know, it looks like T. Higgins is going to be the number two guy. Ja'Marr Chase be there. Mike Thomas, don't discount him. Auden Tate as well. Auden Tate, yeah, I would not discount Auden Tate. Mike Thomas, but Auden Tate, he might have something to say about it as well. But, yeah, Ja'Marr Chase, he's going to be the number one guy on this team, Brad. I mean, I think that that's obvious. Right, what's your thoughts on Ja'Marr Chase and then number two?
Sorry. So Ja'Marr Chase, you know, this is my thing with him. He gets, again, this is kind of like the Travis Etienne thing. He gets partnered with his old quarterback. He hasn't played since 2019. And so, yes, he might be a little rested. But the other side, he could be well rested. He could be not as rusty, but he could be well rusted or rested. Sorry, I can't speak. Well rested. So I think he's going to do well. I think he could very well fight for that number two position right off the bat with T. Higgins. T. Higgins did well last year. Tyler Boyd, 1,000 yards receiving. A.J. Green's out. I know you mentioned Tate. I mean, I think realistically, I mean, you got to think. I mean, chemistry is a big deal. That is why Gronk went down to Tampa Bay. That's why Tom Brady came out the other day and said Edelman was going to go down to Tampa Bay. Chemistry is a big deal. And so I think that's going to play a huge part in Ja'Marr Chase and just how he does his first year. And then for the second wide receiver we have on here is Jalen Waddle, drafted to the Miami Dolphins. Look, he's number two. Probably could be a little lower, but number two on our list. And I say a little lower because he comes into a loaded offense. Now, whether they do good or not next year is up to them. But, I mean, the running backs, Ahmed, and they have Ryan Gaskin. And Ryan Gaskin was a very high-targeted running back out of the backfield when it comes to catching. But then on the flip side of it, they have Devontae Parker, who you could argue – Can he take his spot? I mean, there's likely that he could. Will Fuller comes in from Houston. They picked up Lynn Bowden, who could be somewhat of a threat. I don't think so, but again, bringing in another receiver. And so when you're looking at the Dolphins, he could be the day one number three receiver on the depth chart. But you could easily see that escalate up to one or two because again, I think pro teams are seeing this chemistry. You're drafting old teammates to bring in chemistry. So Jalen Waddle goes to Miami Dolphins. You had Devontae Parker go to the Eagles, which could have played with Jalen Hurts a little bit. But then Ja'Marr Chase, Travis Etienne. And so, again, I think pro teams are seeing the benefit of chemistry among teammates and now drafting their former teammates to bring that immediate chemistry to the team.
Yeah, that's one reason why I like Jalen Waddle too, is because he is so intertwined with Tua Tagovailoa already, and so I think that's great. But either way, I think Jalen Waddle, he's probably primarily, I think he'll play on the slot, really, Brad. I don't know. He might play on the outside. Who knows? But I think that he will be a. I think that he'll be a big target for Tua, and he knows how to play with Tua as well. So I don't know. Jalen Waddle could be a guy who comes in and makes a pretty big impact his first year. Who knows? And when you're looking at rookies and looking at rookie drafts and whatnot, that's what you really would like to get, is guys who come in and make an impact their rookie year. And I think Jalen Waddle, out of all of these wide receivers, I think Jalen Waddle has the highest ability to make the – I don't know if he's going to have the highest – I don't know if he's going to have the best career out of the rookies we're going to talk about, but I think he's had the highest ability to make an impact the first year, and that's important, especially, you know, maybe that's more or less talking about redraft leagues than anything else. Number three, Devontae Smith of the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles have Jalen Reagor, who didn't do anything last year, Travis Fogle, who, you know, came on a little bit, but J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he's not been anything since they drafted him. Khalil Tate, Greg Ward, the junior, John Hightower. I mean, look, guys who had a little bit of moments, but not really. And so the Eagles, they needed a pass catcher here, and they went out and they got one in Devontae Smith. They even moved up ahead of the Giants and traded with the Cowboys to get him. So you know that they got to like him a lot, and they do. So, but either way, he's now with the Philadelphia Eagles. Devontae Smith, I think, will become a great target for Jalen Hurts. And I think the Eagles, I think that they got a good wide receiver here. Now, hopefully he can stay healthy at the NFL level, but that's to be determined. But still, Devontae Smith, a good pickup if you were to get him. Number four, we got Elijah Moore of the Jets. You know, look, Elijah Moore, he's a guy who, in my opinion, I don't know if Jamison Crowder is going to make this team, because Jamison Crowder, he plays at that position that they're looking to put Elijah Moore in. And so I think Jamison Crowder could be a cut from this team, if I'm being honest with you. And I think Elijah Moore could take over that slot role. And I know Sam Darnold personally liked the slot a lot. So – or like Jamison Crowder a lot. Now, he didn't have much anyone else to really go throw the ball to besides maybe Denzel Mims, but who knows about him, right? So, but my thing is the Jets, I think that Elijah Moore, he has a chance to have a big impact as well in his first year, and I think he could have a big impact overall in the NFL. I like Elijah Moore a lot. I liked him a lot in the mock drafts. I liked him a lot in just everything. I mean, I just liked him a lot. And all of that. So, number five, we have Terrence Marshall Jr. of the Panthers. Terrence Marshall Jr., Robbie Anderson, I think he's going into the last year, his contract as well. If they don't extend him, look for Terrence Marshall Jr. to kind of step in and take over his role along with DJ Moore. So, here's my thing is, you know, Terrence Marshall Jr., he could be a guy very, very important to the Carolina Panthers organization and team come in the next couple of years. So he's honestly, in my opinion, Terrence Marshall Jr. is the perfect guy to draft and wait on. If you're able to put him on your taxi squad, that's even better. But he's the perfect guy, I think, to wait on, and he could really be something in the next couple of years. So either way, Terrence Marshall Jr. at number five. I like his size, and he he's got a little – he knows Joe Brady as well. Not to bring up Joe Brady too much here, but either way. But, yeah, bro, what's your thoughts on Devontae Smith, Elijah Moore, and Terrence Marshall Jr.?
Yeah, so I think – I like Devontae Smith. I mean, he's smaller size. He runs a lot of a Julius Edelman, who's going to be a guy who comes in, plays slot, probably becomes a favorite target, Jalen Hurts. Like you said, Jalen Reagor didn't do very well last year. The Eagles have been struggling with wide receivers as of the last couple of years. So Devontae Smith really has a chance to come in and say, there's a reason why I got picked to be the Heisman winner this year. There's a reason why I was the best receiver in the college football, and really do well and get that number one spot the Eagles offense. So if I'm looking for a wide receiver, I'm definitely looking at picking him up maybe middle of your draft. Again, he's a good receiver, lots of potential. I think he has a high ceiling. I think he's one of the higher ceilings out of the wide receivers in our top five. And then you go to number four, Elijah Moore. But this is Rob's guy. Rob loves him. He's a big guy, very touted receiver coming out of Ole Miss. I think the only problem is with him is that the Jets picked up so many receivers in free agency. Will he get started, in day one? And again, we've seen this. We've seen a guy like Justin Jefferson come in and light up the NFL despite going to a place that maybe has a lot of receivers that they picked up in free agency. So can Elijah Moore be somebody like that? Could he be a Calvin Johnson like player? I mean, he has the build of a Calvin Johnson, and so is he going to be someone who can just dominate down the field and be there for Zach Wilson when Zach Wilson needs to throw up a jump ball? And then the other one is Terrence Marshall Jr. I just actually read a story on how Terrence Marshall Jr. was going to land to the Saints, but the Panthers were tipped that the Saints were going to pick him at number 60, and so they moved up at number 59 to pick Terrence Marshall Jr. Nothing like a good old rivalry, but I think Terrence Marshall Jr. is going to do well. Look, Robbie Anderson's there, DJ Moore, CMC. He goes into an offense with a lot of weapons, but like you were saying earlier, I think his size matches up pretty well with other NFL receivers that are around his build. And I don't think he should have any problem adjusting. And again, Sam Darnold needs all the help he can get. I mean, this is his last year to kind of prove himself as an NFL-worthy starting quarterback and not as a journeyman. And so I think you're going to see Terrence Marshall come in as the number three receiver, but maybe not used as much. And so that's the only nervous. I'd be nervous about Jackson early on because, again, if you're looking at dynasty, yeah, I think he could be well utilized in the next 2-3 years. If you're looking at someone who can come and make a difference right off the bat, like a Justin Jefferson, I don't know Terrence Marshall is your guy just yet. So I would wait off in the season draft or a redraft. But dynasty for sure, I pick him up late. He could be a stud in a couple years.
All right, Brad, let's go to our tight ends here. Number one, Kyle Pitts of the Atlanta Falcons. Look, Kyle Pitts, a lot of talent, a lot of ability, a lot of hype and talk, that's for sure. But Kyle Pitts, is he going to get the targets? That's the only thing that I worry about with him. You got Julio Jones, you got Calvin Ridley, you got Gage there as well. Hunter Hurst, is that? No, it's not Hurst. It is Hurst. It's not Hunter,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it's Hayden Hurst.
Hayden Hurst. There we go. Either way. But Kyle Pitts, look, he's going to be the tight end of the future of this team. Could we possibly see Kyle Pitts on the outside if, like, a guy like Julio Jones were to leave? But either way, we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, number two, Pat Freiermuth of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm sorry. Brad, what's your thoughts on Kyle Pitts?
No, you're good. I was going to let you go. No, I think I agree with a lot of things you said, so I won't be too long here. He goes into an offense that already has a lot of offensive weapons. But again, Kyle Pitts is reminding me a lot of a Travis Kelce, a Greg Kittle, and if he can perform with that physicality and just that athleticism, you can very well see him move up over Hayden Hurst and be a maybe middle of the season come in and be a starter. So could work on the blocking, but again, a Kyle Pitts, the way he's built, I mean, you don't expect George Kittle or Travis Kelce to block very well only because you know they're going to be down the field catching balls. I think it's the same thing with Kyle Pitts. So if you're looking for a tight end, need a high draft pick in Dynasty, definitely pick him up. And then if you go to Pat Freiermuth, we're going back to back, right? So Pat Freiermuth or Muth, he goes to my Pittsburgh Steelers. Look, I know they had Eric Ebron, but Eric Ebron, he's okay. He had one good year at the Colts. He did decent with the Steelers last year. And he reminds me a lot of Heath Miller. So if you're a Steelers fan and you know the Steelers, Heath Miller was Ben Roethlisberger's favorite guy. In fact, the why I think I feel like, and you could argue with me here if you want, but the reason why Ben Roethlisberger was so good early on in his career was because of Heath Miller. Heath Miller was a first-round draft pick out of Virginia, did well, was a safety valve, and there was no secret about it. He was a safety valve for Ben Roethlisberger. I think Pat Freiermuth, who set records at Penn State, is known as Baby Gronk. On paper, he looks like a great pick. And so a lot of people complain about picking him in second round. I think he's a real need. Ben Roethlisberger needs a good, healthy, solid, physical tight end like Heath Miller. And I think Pat Freiermuth fits that mold. I think he's going to be good. I should have probably picked him up in my second round pick in my dynasty league that me and Robert in, but I decided not to do that and hope that Cole Kmet becomes a sleeper like I think he is. And I think if you have a chance to draft him, go for it.
I like Pat a lot here. I think that he has the ability, like you're saying, to become a guy in Pittsburgh, to be a guy like a Heath Miller. I mean, could you imagine the Steelers fan Pat, you know, like they did Heath anyways. I like Pat a lot. And I think that he'll fit into this offense well. He's a very good tight end, and we'll just see how it goes. Number three, Tommy Trimble of the Carolina Panthers. Look, Tommy Trimble, I mean, he's going onto a team that he honestly has a really good chance of starting at tight end because there's not really anyone else there to keep him from doing so. Now, does that mean he's going to do well if he starts? No. But if he starts, then he's a guy who could have a lot of impact in his first year. Is he a guy who I'd go after even in redraft leagues? Probably not. But I think that he's definitely a stash when it comes to dynasty leagues or keeper leagues. I think that he could be a stash for you. And so I like Tommy Trimble there of the Panthers. I mean, the Panthers definitely need a tight end, and hopefully Tommy Trimble can give them can fill that role for them well.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, again, like he in a redraft, probably not good to put a pick on him. But if you're in a dynasty, you have a taxi, definitely someone who's good to pick up on. I mean, Sam Darnold, not really known very well for using his tight ends, but I think, like you said, Tommy Trimble goes into a position where he could be the day one starter. He's known mostly as a blocker, which could be good in a sense for owners of CMC and maybe not Tommy Trimble. I definitely think he's a good pick late in the round. Put him on your taxi and hope that he turns out pretty well again. And traditionally tight ends don't really round out very well until they're about 27, 28. And so we're really looking at a position where besides Kyle Pitts and Pat Freiermuth, could be a position where it takes 4 or 5 years for these guys to really get going and be somebody who you want on your team. So again, good taxi spots for you if you're on the defensive end. Brevin Jordan's our number four here. Look, with Brevin Jordan, my only thing with him is that he goes to a team that has a lot of tight ends. And so you go into Houston, you're not really sure what that looks like. With Deshaun Watson going to be there? Is he going to be in jail? I mean, we don't know about Deshaun Watson. You know, they're a mess. But the guy who just took over as head coach that I'm losing my thoughts on, in Baltimore, he loved using Andrews a lot. And I think you're going to see a lot with the tight ends in Houston. But, again, it's a crowded Houston room. So, I pick up Brevin Jordan. I think he could be a good, solid sleeper here in the next 2-3, maybe even 4 years.
Yeah, Texans head coach David Culley. Look, he's very forgettable. I don't think he was hired to be the guy long-term, that's for sure. But either way, hey, you never know. Something could happen. They're going through a lot, though. Brevin Jordan, I like him because I know Deshaun Watson loves using the tight end position, and they don't have a whole lot of receivers to feed there, Brad. So I think Brevin Jordan, he has a chance to make an impact on this team. Is he a guy to make an impact the first year? Probably not, because they're going through a whole lot of crap right now, the Houston Texans are, with Deshaun Watson. Don't even know if Deshaun Watson is going to play, let alone play for the Texans. So, Brevin Jordan, though, look, just kind of a lookout candidate, you know, just look out for him. Number five is Trey McKitty. He's with the Chargers now. He's got the Chargers went out and they signed Jared Cook after losing Hunter Henry. But Trey McKitty, look, he is a guy who, you know, I know that Justin Herbert to Hunter Henry was kind of a big was a big connection for them, was a good connection for them. And so could Trey McKitty be take over for Hunter Henry? I mean, you would think that that's what they're hoping because, I mean, Jared Cook, he's a little over the hill now. So he, you know, you can't really expect Jared Cook to be the guy. But you know, overall though, Brad, I mean, this Chargers team, I think they could be scary this year. And Trey McKitty, hey, who knows, from the tight end position, he could help a whole lot with that.
Yeah, I like Trey McKitty. I think as far as build goes, he has it, 6'4", 275 pounds. You know, he has the muscle there. He has the opportunity to be a good tight end that's going to be strong down the field, physical. Reminds me a lot of Antonio Gates, actually, which was used very heavily in the Chargers system back when they were in San Diego. But, you know, I think he's an effective blocker. He's a good pass catcher. Obviously, you don't draft tight ends on your dynasty team if they're a good blocker. But I think he has great hands. And, you know, he's somebody who's going to be able to go down the field for Justin Herbert, who, again, targeted Hunter Henry a lot last year. And so I don't see why Trey McKitty could come out as the number one tight end. Like Jared Cook, I get it. You're like, but Jared Cook was pretty good. He's a journeyman. He has his good years. He has his off years. He had a couple good years. He had like a year or two good with the Rams or originally started. And he had a good year or two with the Raiders. He had a good year with the Saints. Then he got injured. And so Jared Cook is not really consistent. And that'd be my only issue. So I would I'd almost draft Trey McKitty over Brevin Jordan just because of the potential of getting seeing action faster than Brevin Jordan's with the, because again, Brevin Jordan goes to a team with a lot of tight ends. And so Trey McKitty has an opportunity to start as a day one starter pretty quick, especially with the inconsistency of Jared Cook.
I think the issue with tight ends though is, man, you know, a lot of times tight ends, you're only going to start one of them. You know, you're usually not going to put a tight end in a flex spot. So yeah, it's just, I mean, unless maybe it's tight end premium. There we go. Tight end premium league. You might start two tight ends. Who knows? Either way. All right. Let's go into our sleepers, Brad. This is the last topic of the show before we get to Golden Point of Faith. The last topic of the show, Brad, our sleepers. If you don't mind, I'll go first here with my sleepers and then go into yours. Number one, Kellen Mond of the Vikings. Kirk Cousin, that for me, these aren't necessarily in any type of order. There's just five sleepers for me. So, but number one for me is Kellen Mond here of the Minnesota Vikings. Look, you know, Kirk Cousins, I don't know if anyone heard the RG3 interview that he did, but he says that Kellen Mond is going to be scary to Kirk Cousins because Kirk Cousins can't do the things that Kellen Mond can do. Now, granted, you could make an argument, Kellen Mond can't do the things that Kirk Cousins can do, right? So, but either way, Kirk Cousins, look, he's a great quarterback, he is, or a good quarterback at least. But I think if you're the Minnesota Vikings, if Kirk Cousins struggles or gets to a point to where, you know, you feel like it's a good time to give Kellen Mond a shot, I think the Vikings could do that. And so I like Kellen Mond a lot. I think Kellen Mond is a great taxi squad type of player and put him on your taxi squad. I mean, you only got 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, right? And so if you can get one and put him on your taxi squad, who knows, especially if you're in a super flex league to where you can play two quarterbacks. Number two, I got Amir Smith-Marset. He's of the Vikings as well. The two things I want to say here is Adam Thielen, he's getting up there in age, and then also Stephon Diggs, he was a fifth-round pick too, Brad. And so was Marset here, Smith Marset. He was a fifth round pick. Could he be something? I mean, I know that the number three spot behind Thielen and behind Justin Jefferson kind of seems like it's on the table. So I like Smith Marset here, Brad, and I think that he could be. I think that he might be impactful coming in the next couple of years. But I could be wrong. Hey, who knows? All these. Man, we could all be wrong on these, right? So, but that's why they're called sleeper picks. They either stay sleeping or they wake up, right? So that's what happened. But number three, Cornell Powell of the Chiefs. I think he should be able to see this field some in his rookie year, maybe not a whole lot. Then he's got a quarterback like like Patrick Mahomes. When you got a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, I think you're – I mean, you know, you should be at least on somebody's radar. Maybe not on everybody's radar, but somebody's radar. But, yeah, you know, he's a guy who could see the field. And if he could see the field his rookie year, who knows? They lost Sammy Watkins. So, you know, how many snaps does Cornell Powell get? Does he get 5 to 10 a game? Who knows? If he gets 5 to 10 a game and he gets 2 to 3 catches, you know, one of those could be a touchdown. So, hey, I mean, you just never know. All right, number four for me is Jonathan Adams Jr. The Lions, look, they have a wide receiver room that I think Jerry Rice could compete in even at this current at his current age. I mean, honestly, because it's that bad. I think Adams, he went undrafted, but because of how bad the wide receiver room is with the Lions, I think he could be a sneaky play this season. I'm not saying that he's going to get a whole lot of playing time, but from what I've been reading and such, Adams could be a viable player at least. I don't know about a viable starter, but a viable player at least. And then my last guy is Josh Palmer. I'm kind of throwing my Tennessee Vols a little bone here, but either way, I think the Chargers, I think they obviously have to see something in Palmer to draft him in the third round. You know, Mike Williams, he's most likely not going to be back after this year. I think Palmer's got guys will get some time to show what he's got. Now you got a guy like Jalen Guyton there, who I'm still kind of high on. I know some other people are too, but either way, Josh Palmer. I like Josh Palmer on this system. Again, they drafted him in the third round, so they're going to at least see what he's got. And so I think Josh Palmer, could he become the number two guy outside of – oh, goodness, I have him in every league. could he become the number two guy outside of the guy who I like a lot, but I keep on forgetting his name because, you know, that's just how it happens, is – oh, me. Let's see here. Outside of Keenan Allen. There we go. All right, Keenan Allen, I like him a lot. But could Josh Palmer become the second guy outside of Keenan Allen? We will see. Don't know that for sure, but we'll see what happens. Yeah, anyways, Brad, that is 5 sleepers. Kellen, Amir Smith, Marcette, Cornell Power, Jonathan Adams, the junior, and Josh Palmer. Brad, who are your 5 sleepers?
Yeah, so my 5, I have a mix of running backs and wide receivers. I thought about putting a quarterback or two in there, but Kellen Mond was actually one of my sleepers. But when I saw you had him, I took him off. My number one sleeper is Michael Carter. Not Michael Carter the second or whatever he was from Duke, but Michael Carter, the running back from North Carolina. Look, I know he goes to the Jets with a loaded backfield, but this kid, I mean, for one, he's well-rested, doesn't have as many touches as other running backs who were picked. He's a small frame. He's 5'8". He reminds me a lot of a Kareem Hunt, being able to come out of the backfield, catch balls, break tackles, run down the field, home run speed. We saw what James Robinson did, smaller back, utilized by the Jacksonville Jaguars last year. You could see Zach Wilson throw to check down to Michael Carter a lot just because depending on how the offensive line situation is in New York. And so I like Michael Carter a lot. In fact, I drafted him in our dynasty league in the second round because I believe in him that much. Another guy is Nico Collins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans. Look, Nico comes out of Michigan, which had, let's just be honest, crappy quarterback play. And he sat out 2020. But in 2019, he averaged 19.7 yards per catch. He has a wingspan of 7'9". I think that's ridiculous. He's big. He's strong. He does well on 50-50 contested balls. And in saying all that, if Deshaun Watson comes back, which who knows, but if he does, you can see him getting a lot of targets. And, you know, yeah, they have Brandon Cooks. That's great. But Brandon Cooks will guarantee you probably a concussion every year. And so Nico Collins could easily be the number one receiver by end of the season in Houston. And their offense is such a wasteland. Who knows? He could. I mean, this could be an easy way for him to get targets and do well right off the bat as a rookie. My next one is Larry Roundtree, running back for the LA Chargers coming out of Mizzou. Look, Larry Roundtree, a lot of people are like, he's not very fast. Look, if I'm a running back and I got drafted to the Chargers, there's hope. because last year they used three or four different running backs. In fact, I think someone tried to offer me all their running backs for Nick Chubb, and I'm kind of glad it didn't go that way. But Austin Eckler is probably guaranteed to get hurt. Joshua Kelly underperformed a lot of hype going into last year and didn't do well. And then they had somebody else that, you know, that just shows you how many running backs they have. So I think Larry Roundtree, although coming in as a special teams player, most likely he's physical. He actually reminds me a lot of Jerome Bettis. As a Steelers fan, he's big. And he doesn't have the home run speed, but he's physical, he's violent, and he knows how to get down the field, and he's not afraid to take on a couple of tacklers. So Larry Roundtree could definitely be a sleeper, especially with that even though it's crowded running back room in L.A., they rotate it like I rotate underwear every day. So I would go for Larry Roundtree. My fourth sleeper is Rondale Moore. Look, at Purdue, he was good. In fact, before the Big Ten had their little back-and-forth scramble on whether they're going to play or not, when we did our Big Ten preview show, I actually had him as my Big Ten player of the year. Last year didn't play, but you know, the year before he wound up finishing his career with over 1,900 yards receiving. He was a great special teams player, and I think what you're going to see with Arizona is that you're going to see him kind of like a Tyreek Hill, like a gadget player. So he's going to come in, he might line up as a running back, as a tight end, as a slot receiver. I think you'll see him all over the field. And with Arizona, with not really having a true number one receiver, I mean, yeah, they have Larry Fitzgerald, but don't get me wrong, I love Larry Fitzgerald, probably in his last year. I think they have, what, Josh Brown? I can't even remember the other receivers. But in saying that, that just shows you how much opportunity Rondale Moore has with the Arizona Cardinals. Again, I think with the success that Tyreek Hill has had, you're seeing more and more teams go for their gadget-type players. That way they can throw into the offense and keep the defense on their toes. And then my last but not least is Chuba Hubbard. You know, not because he's Canadian, I hope he does well, you know, he's big. He's fast. I mean, he has a 4.5 40 speed and he's a big guy. And so I think, you know, and if you now, granted, I lived in Oklahoma the last 2 years, and so I probably know more about him than some other people, but I mean, he ran all over people. In fact, if people don't remember, he got invited to the Heisman final voting in New York City. I mean, he's a good running back. He tore up Matt Rhule when he was at Baylor, and Matt Rhule was known as a good defensive coach. And so in saying that, I think the other good thing is if CMC goes down, he sent me a message, if CMC goes down like he did last year, I think Hubbard's a good guy. I mean, yeah, you had Mike Davis last year. You lost him. Mike Davis is more of a slower, patient runner. Chuba Hubbard's just, let's get down the field. Let's bulldoze down the field. And so, again, I mean, this could be, especially if you're in a dynasty league, could be a sleeper this year. He could be a huge pickup for you, especially if you get him late in the draft. Maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 years down the road when CMC retires or just has to take a huge workload cut because of injuries. And so I think Chuba Hubbard for me probably could have been higher, but I have him at number 5 on my sleeper list. So that's my 5 sleepers for this year. It's Michael Carter, running back for the Jets, Nico Collins, wide receiver for the Texans, Larry Roundtree, running back, or the third, running back for the LA Chargers, Rondale Moore, wide receiver for the Cardinals, and Chuba Hubbard, running back for the Carolina Panthers.
I like it, Brad. I like it. All right, Brad. Like we said at the beginning of this episode, this is the final episode under the name of Golden Point Sports Podcast. It's definitely been a lot of fun. But catch us on football with the Golden Guys. Brad, let's do our final Golden Point of Faith.
Yeah, so I've really enjoyed doing the Golden Point of Faith over the last couple of years. Last year, really. And it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed being able to see how I can relate the sports world to Christianity, to what's in the scriptures. And I've enjoyed it. Maybe we can bring it back at some point or do some special episodes. But I hope this has really helped you out in your spiritual walk or your life. And I hope this was encouraging more than anything else. And so this is what I'm thinking. We're talking about the dynasty draft, the rookies. And realistically, you know, a lot of times, if they're smart, a lot of players will have mentors. Now, it could be an old coach. It could be an ex-teammate. It could be the veteran on the team that you just were drafted to. But, you know, a lot of times, if you see the athletes who do well always have some kind of mentor. So, Kobe, I mean, he had several mentors. You know, LeBron James had mentors, you know, and I think if you look at even in the college level, you know, I'm trying to think of somebody who had a mentor that did really well. And off the top of my head, it's not really, maybe in NFL, we just don't see it a whole lot. But anyway, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if you want to call Brett Favre a mentor, but is anyway, you come in and there should be somebody who's going to, you know, put you underneath the wing and say, hey, let me just teach you how it works here at the pro level. You're a rookie. Here's what could be overwhelming. Here's what happens if the coach rags on you, you know, just different things. And so when I look at that in scripture, I see that a lot with Paul and Timothy. So I don't know if you go to church or you listen to podcasts, you might hear a lot, you know, every Paul needs a Timothy and every Timothy needs a Paul. And mentorship is important. As a Christian, we should be being mentored, and hopefully we have the opportunity to mentor other people, not because we're all knowing some kind of wise sage or anything like that. It's just because we can use our life experiences that God's given us to help others get through similar experiences. And so the scripture I want to use today, 2 Timothy 1:1-7, it says, "Greetings from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am an apostle because God wanted me to be. God sent me to tell people about the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, a dear son to me, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, from Christ Jesus our Lord. I always remember you in my prayers day and night, and in these prayers I thank God for you. He is the God my ancestors served, and I've always served him with a clear conscience. I remember that you cried for me. I want very much to see you so that I can be filled with joy. I remember your true faith, that kind of faith that first belonged to your grandmother Louise and then to your mother Eunice. I know you now have that same faith. That is why I want you to remember the gift God gave you. God gave you the gift when I laid my hands on you. Now I want you to use the gift and let it grow more and more, like a small flame grows into a fire. The spirit God gave us does not make us afraid. His spirit is a source of power and love and self-control." So I just hope that there's somebody important in your life. And if you don't have someone important in your life, reach out to somebody. You know, a lot of times you say, well, no one's coming up to me and offering to mentor me. I found out that, and I used to be one of those people, but I found out that I had to reach out to those people intentionally and say, hey, I need to be mentored. I don't know all the answers. I don't, you know, I have difficulty understanding this in the Bible. Why does it say this? And why does it say that, you know? And so, you know, reach out, find those who are willing to pour into you, pour their life into you, whether it's via Zoom or it's over lunch or it's via phone call. And you never know those connections. You might say, well, they'll give me a job. I'm just saying, I think those connections later in life, when you go through even a tougher stuff, they're going to be there to help you pick you up off your feet, you know, get you back into looking at scripture and getting back into being on the right track to make sure that you're doing what God's called you to do in your life. And whether that's being a minister or being a Pepsi vendor dealer, or it's being the janitor at the local schools, you know, God's given us all a role in this life. And I think it's easier when we reach out and get a mentor and become a mentee, or even find other people to mentor. But again, out of all this mentorness, remember that God gave us a spirit. And this one says, does not make us afraid. You know, I like the translation says, God gives a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And so again, just remember that, God's for you. He's not against you. Romans 8, you know, it says that. But again, I hope that does well. Hope you enjoy Golden Point of Faith. I've enjoyed putting it together for you. I hope it's been encouraging and something that you've been able to grab onto and get you through the week, or even maybe something that you never thought of before, or maybe it's just encourage you to keep going. So thank you guys for allowing me to do this. And yeah, join us when we do Football with the Golden Guys. Starts next week. Me and Robert are looking forward to it, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Amen, Brad. Amen.
Welcome to Golden Point Sports Podcast. You can find us on Apple, YouTube, Spotify, Anchor, and more. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Let us know what you thought in your comments, and go rate us and give us reviews on any other podcast site you listen to. Again, thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoyed this week's episode.